This whole LeBron James Lakers drama, Perloff, to me, it seems pretty straightforward. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
Yeah, to me too.
Yeah, like I understand that the passive-aggressive things that LeBron always does are certainly in play here, but this is what it is in a nutshell. The Lakers realize they have to pivot off LeBron at some point. They didn't offer him a contract extension. He's not happy about that, but I don't do anything this upcoming season. I pair him with Luka Doncic. I'm keeping that pairing at least for this year. That's it, period, end of story. I don't really see where the Lakers have another move, and I don't know why LeBron would actually want to leave Luka right now.
Okay, so obviously I thought it was simple, but we don't see it the same way.
Okay, how do you see it?
So this, you know, there's a story that came out in ESPN reported by Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst about a meeting with Luka and the Lakers. This was a shot across the bow to LeBron camp. Because not only was it about the meeting about the future of the team and LeBron wasn't there, and it was all about the fancy wine that they drank, which
I
is directly,
so
directly
bougie.
Messaging. No, it's directly messaging Mr. Wine, LeBron James.
Well, Mr. Wine, J.J. Redick was there too, the head coach, who's also a wine snob. Gosh,
yeah, but
so
it doesn't like LeBron's wine stuff is like over the top. So I feel like they made sure somebody called Ramona and said, "Make sure you get the wine thing in there because you got to tell LeBron we don't want you here." So I think that was all messaging to say we don't want you here. Then Dave McMenamin talked during Vegas and mentioned other teams, reiterated the report that other teams have been reaching out. Then all this Cavs stuff got into the internet.
Well, Cavs stuff got the internet. LeBron was in Cleveland posting from the Cavs facility.
This weekend, like a whole new fresh batch of Cavs stuff got into the internet.
But LeBron and the Cavs, like he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Cav if basketball even does that kind of thing.
He's going to might start game one for the Cavs this year.
Okay, so that's where after all the weekend of, you know, this, that, and the other of report after report, do you actually think LeBron James will A, get traded before the season, this upcoming season starts, ask for a trade, or that the Lakers will try to move off of him?
I think it's really, really, really hard to make it happen, but I want it to happen because otherwise next year is a waste of a season for everybody. LeBron and Luka and that and Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and that crew is not good enough to win the West. I've seen that, you know, last year they weren't even a threat in the playoffs. I know they have another year, Luka, but I just don't think the pieces are around them defensively at all or even that close. So what's the point? Send him to Cleveland. I'm not quite sure logistically how you do that. Send him to Cleveland.
A buyout or a trade.
Let him go out on top. Coming at, you know, win the East out of Cleveland, get slaughtered in the finals.
Yeah.
Let's go.
This is for you.
And that's a better outcome.
That's
than just
much better outcome for not only for the NBA, but for basketball fans, because I just think it's a big nothing burger with the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm not doing that if I'm the Lakers. First of all, one other thing that came out from this report, and like, you don't need to know the whole TikTok, the wine thing is funny, but like, you don't really need to know about that. I think the biggest thing was this idea that the Lakers have to get this very clean sort of, get their finances in order before, we thought 2026, but Luka can opt out after this year. So the bigger, why the Lakers feel the need to wine him and dine him is not just because he's Luka Doncic and this trade fell out of the sky from Dallas, but think about it, Pearl. I know they didn't give up a lot to get Luka because the Mavericks just unloaded him. But it's really important to the Lakers, I think, that Luka signed like now.
Right, like August 3rd. Right?
Yeah, so he's in Slovenia. He's like playing, you know, play basketball, whatever. But they really want him to sign this year because it would hold this anvil over their head if he goes into next year and he is going to go in as a free agent. Like that's not what the Lakers want. I think that's the biggest thing people should keep in mind, number one.
What are the... Is there even the slightest chance he's not going to sign with the L.A. Lakers for $300-something million? Why would he not sign that?
I think he will, too. It's not $300. They can't offer him as much as the Mavs did because of the way that the salary cap is. But it's close, like $250 or something like that. But no, until they get his name signed on the dotted line, they need to make sure that Luka is happy, which is why they're giving him the heads up before LeBron on big things. It's why, you know, they're looking at him like the focal point because he could embarrass the bejesus out of the organization if he ever decided to opt out. By the way, is Rob Pelinka some real superstar GM? You just mentioned the team's not good enough with Luka and LeBron to compete in the West. Rob Pelinka, the GM from the Lakers, is no slam dunk that Luka Doncic like should automatically fall in line with the Lakers.
If that is not a slam dunk, then nothing in NBA. You're telling me it's not as Luka's going to leave the Los Angeles Lakers to go somewhere else? That would make no sense whatsoever.
He didn't pick the Lakers. He loves it. He looks
like a new person there. There's been nothing. Dude is ripped all of a sudden, or super ripped, as DeAndre Ayton said.
Yeah.
It feels like a 0.0 chance that he would not resign with the Lakers to me.
Why does he go to the Lakers?
Where's he going to go? He leave the Lakers and go where?
Well, I'm just saying this is the backdrop of what's going on. That's not the LeBron part of this is taking up a lot of oxygen. The real story, one of the real stories, I think, is Luka and them wanting him to sign this extension. So that would just be my first thing. And Laker fans, you know, Rob Pelinka is not exactly the mastermind here.
Rob Pelinka just traded for him.
The Mavs called and said, do you want one of the top three players in the league? What, are you going to hang up?
My point is you don't need a mastermind. It's the L.A. Lakers. Of course he's going to resign. I mean, I guess the issue is long-term or short-term, whatever. He's definitely resigning with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's not an idiot.
No, he's not an idiot.
Luka's fine. He'll be a Laker for life. Okay. I'll bet you he's there for 10 years.
Sure. But here's the other part. There's this idea that they want to, I've seen a lot of fans have it out there, that the Lakers need now to punt on the next two seasons.
Yeah, I like that.
That's insane. That's the stupidest thing ever.
What are you just going to, what's the goal, to be a four seed and go out in the second round? Like, what if you have to build some kind of quote-unquote super team around them, right? You need the right pieces.
Okay, that's on the GM. You got the centerpieces here. This is why I want to see Luka and LeBron together, right? Because it's like you're going to wait for something to be perfect. You're not Oklahoma City. You know, you're not building this in the way that the Thunder just did, where it took them years to build this in the perfect way that they wanted to. And the idea that you're going to wait till 20, get a clean sheet, as they say, get your finances in order, because you think – because Giannis and Jokic are going to be free agents maybe by 2027. That's not a plan. You can't just punt on 2 years of Luka's prime because you're waiting for a plus 30 Giannis or a Jokic who I would bet more that Jokic stays in Denver than Luka's a Laker for the rest of his life. Like, Jokic isn't going anywhere.
But they might want younger guys by then anyway.
Fine, but you're
you but at least always have options. First of all, you make it sound like it's 10 years from now. It's 2 years from now. You're punting on this season. Why not punt on the future next season?
I think that's being too harsh. I know I'm just saying that Rob Pelinka isn't a great GM, but I think with Luka and LeBron together, which is why I keep them together this season, I want to see what that is. And you're going to say, well, you get Luka for the and trade him away to the cap. First of all, if you buy him out, then you get nothing. But you trade him to the Cavs, are you sure you're getting something back that's actually going to be worth it? I don't do that if I'm the Lakers. So to me, this is all pretty cut and dry. Luka, LeBron play together this year, see what happens, and then LeBron goes somewhere in his final season next year, and it's the Cavs if they want to do some homecoming thing or something else, and everyone can celebrate LeBron farewell tour.
Okay, but we'll give you. So in this plan, you're still keeping everything open for 2027. You're not.
Well, they didn't sign LeBron past this year.
So let me ask you a question.
It kind of naturally works out. I don't know why we need all this drama.
Well, because LeBron I think the whole thing started. LeBron, as always, wants you to go all in immediately and use every possible resource and every future draft pick to build a team right now. So let me ask you a question. Would you do that to really maybe give this Luka LeBron team a chance?
I need to know.
Would you have done that?
I need to know what that is. Like, if it was trying to trade with the Knicks for Mikal Bridges, like, I don't know what the thing was that they wanted. First of all, he's not available. And secondly, like, I don't know what this master plan was.
I do think that there is some, maybe I'm not in the weeds enough on this, but it did feel like LeBron sent a message, hey, go all in now. I don't want to just be here and have a really thin team around me. And that's, I think, the problem with the Lakers. They have like no depth, no size.
Okay, you know,
they
got rid of Anthony Davis. They have no defense. Opt out.
I don't know why he didn't opt out. Apparently, probably was bad. He's like, well, I'm going to make them pay $53 million this year.
Keep me around.
I mean, honestly, the whole thing seems real. I think that's why LeBron is sitting there in summer league looking uncomfortable, because the whole thing seems like a mess right now. That's why the NBA step in, get him to Cleveland. Would that be a poetic season? Wouldn't you be so much more excited about the 2025-26 NBA season if LeBron James was on the Cavs? Would that just change everything?
What's the difference between this year and next year? I think he's going to end up on the Cavs maybe anyway. So
a year. I mean, I think because of the timeline of LeBron, I don't know how much great basketball he has left in him.
We've been saying that for a while. But I would also...
Well, I mean, come on. There is reality, okay. Maggie. I mean...
EJ, put this on the poll. What would you rather see for the upcoming season? LeBron James and Luka Doncic get another year together, or LeBron James is on the Cavs? Is this another one where Perloff's going to win this poll by a landslide and I'm just not seeing it? Because I want to see another year of Luka and LeBron.
Well, I think maybe people will find LeBron on the Cavs obnoxious, but they're kidding themselves. Because I think that would be the storyline. That would just raise everything. All of a sudden, the East is incredibly interesting. The East with all those injured stars like LeBron or whatever, real path to the finals. I mean, I don't... The Lakers, the odds are actually pretty good on the Lakers to get out of the West. I think they're the fourth team. But I don't see it at all. I think they should be like the eighth team because you have so much strength there. You have, look at you, yeah, you have the Thunder. How are the Lakers going to beat the Thunder?
Well, how's anybody going to beat the Thunder? We said this about the Nuggets. I mean, this is when, after you win the title, you look indestructible.
Well, yeah,
and
true.
And then things happen.
Well, I think the officials could come down on the Thunder and stop all that Alex Caruso and Jokic intentional fouling that they didn't even call.
Oh.
I think that's one thing to do. That's one thing that could stop the Thunder is they start calling all the fouls. Denver's going to be, they really improved. Minnesota is always seems to get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know how. I mean, they do have Anthony Edwards. Then you have Houston. You have San Antonio. You have the Clippers.
Golden State.
I'm not really counting them now. They haven't really done anything this offseason. They're kind of on the periphery to me. But you have just so much size and talent in the West that I don't give. Am I crazy? Am I missing something? Like, do Luka and LeBron, how are they going to get enough defense to get out of that conference?
Well, that's for J.J. Redick to figure out. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What do you want to see, LeBron and Luka together for another year, or do you want to see LeBron go to the Cavs? Here's another part of this, and I understand I'm saying, oh, it's cut and dry. Just put Luka and LeBron together, and maybe I'm oversimplifying things because I'm not thinking about everyone's feelings. And pardon me if I'm not worried about how everyone is feeling and if everyone's caught up in their feelings, because is this situation with the passive aggressiveness, and even if you don't know the TikTok of all the details, you've seen the LeBron playbook for the last 20 years. It's basically that. Can they survive this season together? Like, can LeBron and Jeannie Buss, who's still in charge technically, even though there's a new owner, and J.J. Redick and Luka, like, can, and the attention that the Lakers get, can they actually survive and be, like, productive, or is all the outside noise going to be too much for this situation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who would be the problem in this scenario?
Well, LeBron. LeBron, Rich Paul.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, LeBron will play ball, I think. And he did, in the story on ESPN, that did point out that LeBron reached out to Luka's camp and said, we love you, Luka. Like, we love playing with you. So I don't see LeBron. I mean, unless you're talking about, like, say he is there, game one. Is there a chance the Warriors make a move for him at the trade deadline like they did last year or 2 years ago? Maybe. But no, that LeBron and Luka are pros. There's not going to be any kind of that drama. Like a James Harden, KD kind of thing. I don't see that happening at all. Do you see that?
It'd be more just LeBron with his, you know, passive aggressiveness. I mean, this is how he's operated. So let's hear from LeBron's proxy, shall we? His agent, Rich Paul, was on Sirius XM NBA radio yesterday. So the Laker reports about possibly trading him or the turmoil. Let's see what Rich Paul had to say about that.
There's so many voices in today's game and around today's game and media and things like that. And everyone has a job to do. For us, hey, let those people do their job. It's not for us to rebuttal or to try to give clarity on what's said, what's not said. That's not the focus. Focus is, hey, man, enjoy your summer. Obviously, I wear a lot of different hats, so I have a lot of things on my plate.
Okay. Let's hear another one before I get into Rich Paul. He said he just wants LeBron to focus on finding joy in playing basketball.
There's never been an expectation on anyone like it's been on him. But my thing is just continue to find your joy. You know, you can't go out here and try to prove everyone wrong or, you know, align with or wanting to make sure that everyone is right. The critique is going to be the critique.
we all thought LeBron was fine until Rich Paul put out a statement saying that maybe things weren't fine. I had no idea that LeBron was this ticked off about not getting a contract. I mean, maybe if I'd really sat down and thought about it, I guess I could have gotten there. I thought everything was fine until you guys said it wasn't fine. So find joy playing basketball, fine. It's also a job after 25 years, and LeBron has a million reasons to be joyful. Nobody knew there was tension until the James camp put it out there that there's tension.
Well, I understand it's part of the report. I don't think it's just a multi-year contract extension because of the wording of Rich Paul's original statement. Mm. I don't think he thinks he can win a title there. Remember he said he wants to compete for a championship.
Right.
So, you know, LeBron is he doesn't care about ring culture was a, what do you call a statement where you say something that's completely true about yourself?
Deflecting? No, yeah, not yeah, deflecting. Like that.
Projecting.
He's obviously an all-time ring chaser. I don't think he thinks he can win a ring here, and I think he wants one more ring for the Jordan thing, right?
Then again, why opt in? You could have just left and went to the Cavs if you think that's it, right?
Well, he had to leave a lot of money on the table, and he wasn't doing that.
Also, he's got to buy a team.
I feel like
he'll
make it up. I feel like he can find it somewhere. I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive that the $50 million is going to be the difference about whether or not he can buy the Las Vegas team or not.
Well, remember, I was arguing you, I think, about that. Yeah, like $50 million is a drop in the bucket. I don't know. LeBron's always taking the money, though, right, EJ?
Yeah, exactly. This is besides the Miami Heat situation, he's almost never really taken, you know, less or taken, a discount. So if he opted out this year, the teams that had salary cap room were the Nets and nobody.
Right.
So it pretty much would have been, all right, sign for the mid-level exception and play for, you know, $13, $14 million. And I don't think that was, you know, applicable to him at all.
Right.
I don't think that was even a part of the consideration, which is why he tried to opt in and then maybe see if the Lakers would trade him. I think that was the goal, and that didn't work. So that hasn't worked so far.
Right.
Okay.
And I just think that, are you finding joy? Are we playing to win, or do we just want to get the most money possible? You might not get that at 40. You know,
he's LeBron. He wants the world.
I understand. He's had it. It's been his world. We're talking about him. I mean, it's always his world until he retires, and then we'll just keep talking about him and Michael Jordan. It's never not been his world.
But he's really smart. He's like kind of, he's always looked at a team and said, well, this is a situation where I can win a title. He went to Miami to win a title. He went back to Cleveland because he knew Kyrie was awesome. Then he went back to LA because he knew Anthony Davis was eventually going to get there or something. I don't know.
They orchestrated that.
Yeah, right. So I think that he's always kind of had the ring on his mind. So the Lakers are just in a tough spot right now. They just don't have enough flexibility to build out the roster, to me, defensively around these two guys. So he wants to get somewhere where they have loads of talent.
Okay, Machiavelli, then what's he doing?
Cleveland.
Okay, but is Cleveland doing this?
No, probably not.
Okay, then the plan sucks.
Well, that's the thing. LeBron's got to make a lot of noise. Rich Paul, I don't know why Rich Paul is kind of just saying, hey, we got to enjoy our summer. I wish he would come out here and say, get me to Cleveland. Listen, if I could make the perfect scenario, of course there's only one perfect scenario. That's that he goes to the Mavs. That would be amazing. It would be the incredible revenge tour of the Mavs versus the Lakers. Nico Harris, I mean, that would be amazing. And then somehow Kyrie gets healthy enough to play this season. They have Kyrie, LeBron, Anthony Davis, bring out J.R. Smith, all the former LeBron teammates.
Shumpert.
Chris Paul. Paul signed yet?
It's like a tribute band.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or a like, super band, whatever they're called.
Yes. That would be, I mean, there was some report out, by the way, and sorry, I don't, who, is Scoop Robinson? He's got Scoop in his name. Has a Twitter report.
No, his last name's not Robinson.
Scoopy Robinson?
Yeah, Scoopy Robinson.
Oh, Scoopy.
No, not the famous Scoop. There's another Scoop.
Scoop Jackson was.
Yeah, Scoop Jackson. But Scoopy Robinson came out.
There's Scoopy Robinson.
Yeah, is Scoopy Robinson legit?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
On the show.
So he said there are four teams, the Mavs, the Cavs, the Clippers, and there's one other team. He said this Sunday night.
Mavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors. Clippers.
Yeah. So Clippers I don't need to see really, but I would love to see him on the Mavs or the Cavs. Clippers, it feels like they always find the banana peel in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know it's different with Ballmer, but it still feels kind of like a... Ugh.
They're really old. That would be an old team.
It would be funny if the Lakers were able to get a Cooper Flagg out of this.
Don't worry.
Did you see Bronny goes to
Cooper Flagg? Wait 5 years.
Did you say Bronny? I don't know if this is even a real video. Says Cooper Flagg, you're going to get traded for Rui Hachimura.
No way, that's real.
No.
And then, okay. That wasn't real.
I don't know. It doesn't sound real.
And then Cooper Flagg has a. Anyway, Bronny and Cooper Flagg that was a great matchup. They were. I want to see the Mavs and the Lakers battle it out in the second round of the playoffs with LeBron. God. Come on, that's what I mean. We need drama. LeBron and Luka, that might work, Maggie. You're right, but that doesn't feel heavy enough. We need something a little more easy to grab onto.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, what do you want to see? Do you actually want to see LeBron and Luka for another season, or do you want to see LeBron go to the Cavs?
Anywhere else.
Or anywhere else.
But
okay.
For the poll, the Cavs, but the Mavs and the Warriors would be exciting too. We need some excitement. Come on. The Thunder Pacers, you know, that was good basketball.
We got game 7.
It was good basketball, but it lacked the super, superstars. You know, you had SGA, who's kind of a newer super. You need, you know what I mean? You need these Hall of Famers at the biggest possible stage. Make it happen. Could Adam Silver interject here?
Get LeBron specific. I think I'd love to hear from the Warrior fans. Because this has been a tap dance that's been happening for quite a long time. And I don't know.
Right. Like, pull the trigger here, guys.
Let's do this thing, right? 888-710-4ISN.
That's another, a second poll. Which team would you most love, want to see him on, if not the Lakers?
Cavs, Mavs.
Warriors might win that one.
Warriors.
What's up, by the way? Jonathan Kuminga has been this chip out there. He's somehow involved in this. Get Jonathan Kuminga to the Lakers to build around with Luka. We got to work something out here, Maggie. And I'm looking at you, EJ, and Manny. Like, if we all present an idea to Rich Paul and somebody to get LeBron out of L.A., that's my goal.
Okay, yeah, I'll just text him right now.
Yeah, get on that.
Call a chef and just send an email.
710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, got a lot of LeBron James on the docket for you today. We've got more, including Christian McCaffrey, an update on him. We also have to get to the NFL and college football, which we want to do, which we will do, and we'll be talking about coaches. We do that all today. Happy Monday, everybody. We're back. Maggie and Perloff.
LeBron James.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Okay. Bear with me on this thesis. Tennis desperately needed Sinner to beat Alcaraz yesterday.
Yeah.
And it happened because it got to the point where it looked like Alcaraz was going to win every tournament from here ad infinitum, forever.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, thank God Sinner won that match. He lost 5 in a row to Alcaraz, including that dramatic French Open. Otherwise, in my mind, that rivalry was gone. And I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm saying this because I love domination in sports. Watching Alcaraz win every single tournament was getting kind of boring.
Mm.
I mean, it wasn't for me.
Okay. I mean, yeah, to be a real rivalry, both guys got to win a lot.
Exactly.
Right. I loved how we tried to make Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova into rivalry. I think Sharapova beat her once.
Well, early it seemed like Sharapova was first, right? She was, or no, no.
No, no. Serena was first, and then Sharapova beat her once.
Yeah, like a nice little flurry.
It was like, here we go. And then Serena was just like, brrr, just motor down. But
yeah, no, I mean, Serena was great, but it took a long time. Serena was also part of, like, Venus and Serena. There was a lot going on here. We can't just have Alcaraz win every tournament. Basically, it would be like Federer with no Nadal. Nadal, Federer with no Djokovic. Like, yeah. you need two guys. And I actually saw something interesting that would have been unprecedented if Alcaraz had won 3 Wimbledons in a row. That never happens. So this is good. This is like, thank God. Otherwise, we would have nothing. Because my guy, Ben Shelton's never winning.
Oh, man.
Taylor Fritz is never winning. No American's ever winning. It's going to be Alcaraz and Sinner forever. Because once you're the best tennis player, you win every major. That's how it is now. There's no, when's the last time we had a Cinderella story in a major? And it doesn't happen anymore, right?
Now I gotta think about that a little
bit. It's been like the college football playoff throughout the 2010s. Like, you have the same guys every single time.
And those guys were dominating, and now we're in this new era with Alcaraz and Sinner being the two best guys. But can I tell you something? I think most of the audience probably wasn't as locked. I think we need a little bit more history between the two of them. But they're a great rivalry. They're not even close to the best rivalry in sports right now, though.
Best individual rivalry in sports?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best rivalry in sports right now still is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And they don't play the same position. They don't play. I just think there's still the residual bad blood from college. People get riled up about this thing, not just online, but I think there's like a real, I think there really is a rivalry there. Maybe eventually be Caitlin and Paige Beckers. Maybe it's LeBron versus Father Time or LeBron versus Michael Jordan or something like that. LeBron versus Steph Curry. But if you were thinking about the biggest rivalry right now, the best one we have, I think it's Caitlin and Angel. I think that would win over Sinner and Alcaraz in public mind.
Well, I feel like the Caitlin Angel one's a little manufactured, though. Like, I feel like the media wants it to be a great rivalry, but is it really, like, delivering on the court?
Well, in college it did. They met in the finals and they met in the Elite Eight, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
That was big.
Yeah.
Trash-talking each other. I mean, it crossed over and become this huge story.
It still feels a little forced to me. It feels like it's, like, outside issues are being put upon the two of them. You know, because they're very popular,
right?
And the media loves to make this a big deal, but you get a lot of clicks when you mention Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. But I feel like it's kind of lost a little sizzle.
Okay, but here's
I think it was higher about a year ago.
Maybe, but I'll give it the Lifetime Achievement Award. I don't know if we can do that. I'll give it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think it's still got more juice right now, because the other thing about Sinner and Alcaraz, and this is, I think, a newer thing in tennis, and I don't like it, by the way. And I'm blaming Federer and Nadal for this. They always were saying how great friends they were behind the scenes.
You cannot be serious.
I need to go back to the Johnny Mac Borg stuff where I don't think John McEnroe liked anybody.
Oh, they liked each other.
You think so?
Oh, boy, McEnroe openly worshipped Borg. He hated Connors.
Connors. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
At least we had somebody. Yeah, Connors and McEnroe, because they were both Americans and yeah. But I just think that I want these guys to not like each other. We do this with the women all the time. It's like they're petty and all that stuff behind the scenes. I want the tennis players, it's like this big love fest after the final. I love you. I love you. It's like, all right, let's get a little tension.
Nah, it's not in today's day and age.
No,
that's the problem with these young athletes.
Our sweaters and Rolexes on.
Yeah,
and our acceptance speeches after the match is over.
Come do you think that they're taking any less, like, it makes it any less intense on the court? Like, obviously, they're still going out to kill each other.
Yeah, but I want the whole thing, especially when it's individuals, you know?
Yeah, like boxers, like Frazier and Ali had obviously a lot of issues off the ring.
Yeah,
outside the ring.
They were also selling fights, which I think kind of makes people sometimes go to the lower denominator. But, you know, some of the things that Ali has said, you know. But I think that I want the full 360, like, date your ex.
But there's too much money. These guys are too rich. Why would, I mean, if you're making $1 billion a year or whatever these tennis players are making, like, you're making too much money. How can you have any animosity towards anyone?
Okay, according to the ATPTour.com, I got career earnings, prize money.
Yeah, I mean, that's half their income, right?
Yeah, it's only half the income. You're right about that. Yeah. But this looks like the latest. Anyone want to make some guesses here? Sinner and Alcaraz, they're actually very close.
They're both young, right?
It's basically
Sinner's 23 or...
23 for Sinner, 22 for Alcaraz. The career prize money, not endorsements.
Who has more money?
Just how much do you think they've made?
$111 million.
No, just prize money.
Right. That was prize money. Okay. Oh, that I said $111 million prize money.
I don't know what it is, but Carlos Alcaraz, I think, has more.
$47 million for Alcaraz and $45 million for Sinner.
Right. So Alcaraz probably makes, what, $100 million a year in marketing?
Sure.
Play tennis, kids.
No, play golf, because that's nothing for golf. Yeah.
Play the individual sports, kids. Forget the team sports. Be selfish.
Yeah, who needs
to play basketball, though? That's making a lot of money now.
I know, but you got to be like 6'7" to even get a sniff. Let's get to Bogush. Bogush, what do you think? Best rivalry in sports right now? Is it Sinner and Alcaraz?
It is not.
Caitlin and Angel, right?
I mean, we'd like it to be, in terms of like talked about and words spent on it. It probably is, but it's not on the field in actual competition. I still think that's like a Michigan Ohio State kind of answer.
Still just the team rivalry.
Yeah, because
Michigan Ohio State though has 100 years of history.
Yeah, I know, but I don't even know. I don't know what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese actually think about each other. To be honest, like, we know that Michigan and Ohio State do not like each other. We're planting flags and tackling people and being angry. Like, we've created more of the drama around those two than
but they have a 100 year head start. You know,
well, okay.
There's a lot of time for animosity to build up.
Of course.
I get the sense that Angel and Caitlin are moving toward each other instead of away from each other in terms of animosity. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part.
We came in. Caitlin did not pick Angel on the All-Star team, guys.
Yeah, I don't see that. They had an incident this year.
Yeah, I don't think they like each other.
I'm not sure. I think both of them.
Flagrant foul on Caitlin Clark to Angel Reese. Angel Reese got up, wanted to go after her. Like, there's definitely no love lost there.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It just feels, as Bogue said, it feels a little forced. I think it's more likely that it becomes a Caitlin Page or Caitlin Juju kind of rivalry long run. It's kind of like maybe it's like Magic and Bird didn't really cover each other either, and they had the famous Bird Magic thing, but then they became great friends in like 85, right? I don't know. It's just the whole thing seems a little, as folks had put upon.
What about Josh Allen Mahomes?
That's what I was thinking too.
You got Lamar in there too, because he plays Mahomes every year.
I don't prescribe to the theory that someone has to win it for it to be a rivalry. That's dumb. Oklahoma State's a rivalry. Like, there are so many rivalries in basketball, in football, especially where one team always loses and it's still a rivalry.
Yeah, but not historically. I'm sure through the years, if Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State 100 times in a row, it wouldn't. I'm sure. Oklahoma State had to beat them sometimes.
I know that season series probably looks terrible for them. Bedlam.
But you also have a geographic thing that helps boost that, where you're living amongst.
That's my point, though, is that there are things that go into it that go beyond wins and losses that make a rivalry, is my point.
You're right about that. When I mentioned Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova, right, people try to make that a rivalry. Serena crushed her. I mean, that all-time head-to-head is not great, but there were way more societal implications, right? It's like, why is Sharapova getting paid more in endorsements when she isn't even close to what Serena was, because she's like a cute blonde or whatever it was.
Right, and to me, like taking that away, like Josh Allen Mahomes, I think is a rivalry. Josh Allen hasn't quote unquote beat Mahomes, but like
he does in the regular season.
And to me,
Maddie just gave me a sarcastic thumbs up.
But there's clearly these are big events when those guys face each other. Still,
go Bills.
Like, I don't think that because Josh Allen loses, that means that it's not a rivalry. Like, I don't see it that way.
Yeah, the games have been good.
Yeah, the games are great. They're very competitive. Like.
I mean, it's the NFL. Like, they'll throw anything on the TV, and everybody's watching. I'm not sure that rivalry has the heat that you guys are saying, because I feel like the Chiefs could play anybody. It's going to be a massive race.
You don't think Bills and Chiefs are?
I think anybody
the marquee matchups of the season.
But it could be anybody in that AFC title game against the Chiefs, and 37 million people are going to tune in. Like, I don't think it's so. I don't think it's like feels the same as Steelers Cowboys in the 70s to me.
I think Chiefs and Bengals was better than Chiefs and Bills.
Because the Bengals actually beat them
in
the postseason. Sure. Maybe.
No, and also too, they didn't like each other. Burrowhead and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burrowhead, my ass.
You gotta have that ready.
You gotta have some juice. You gotta have heat.
But I mean, to Maggie's point, Josh Allen loves that. Everybody loves Josh Allen, and Josh Allen loves everybody. Like, he's not going to have any heat.
But think about that one time when he lost to Mahomes, or rather, Allen beat Mahomes. What happened after the game?
And Mahomes complained, but not to Josh, because he loves Josh Allen. Like, they're great friends.
He did complain to Josh Allen.
No, he was. We complained about his own team
because he's so. Yeah, he said, Josh, he's just screwed me over. He was like, he was like telling a friend, like, God, did you see what just happened to me? they're very close friends, I think, aren't they? I mean,
I don't know. I don't want to know. No, I'm just kidding.
Mahomes is such good friends with Allen. He's like, Josh, that was a great game, but did you see what my own line? Like, he was like, probably texting him afterwards. He's like, yeah, you won that one, but give me a break here, dude. They are definitely buddies. Like, come on. Josh Allen? Who could ever be mad at that little guy?
But we're talking about legacy
little.
Stuff.
Little.
Yeah, jeez.
He's like 6'10". He's like a kid.
He said, take the door down.
He's like 30 now.
It's like the size of a giraffe.
That's amazing.
But he's got like a little boy quality, and everybody does love him. You ever heard other people talk about Josh Allen? It's like, oh my God. He's like everybody's best friend.
Built like a buffalo.
Yeah, which is why I'm glad he's not doing that quarterback show on Netflix, because I've continued to watch that, and it's tough. I'm assuming he's not doing it, Josh Allen, that is, because he doesn't want people to see his life behind the scenes. He's really, really private, and I get that. But I'm sitting there watching Kirk Cousins and his brother singing to Cher, and
these guys are
putting themselves out there.
I got a text from Manny yesterday, and it's just no context. I hate Kirk Cousins.
And have you been watching the show?
Oh my God.
Well, when I got that text, I thought it was because of Mrs. Kirk Cousins, because usually when Manny hates an athlete, it's some kind of girlfriend wife thing related.
Yeah, the patriarchy.
So I was like, I haven't seen Kirk Cousins' wife, but he's a quarterback, so I don't know. He's like, no, not that. He's just annoying. I want to punch his face. I'm like, is that bad, huh?
Respectfully, I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I want to drown him in a Roy Rogers. Is that all?
Oh, my God. Cut it with the Coke and grenadine. Guys, it's like you found the Holy Grail. It's a freaking drink. No, I mean, they seem like nice people.
That I get. Like Dr. Pepper, I get very passionate about soda, too.
I relate
to everything Kirk Cousins was doing.
I was like, these guys are my North Star.
I've been going to Green Clips for 20 years.
Okay.
Let's sing Cher.
No.
Green Clips.
The worst part and I also say this respectfully, but also kind of like, what are you doing, dude? He's coaching his kids' flag football team. They're 5 years old, the kids.
Yeah. Spider Y2 banana on one. Ready? Break.
He's telling him the kid to go out of bounds so they can bleed clock.
That was controversial.
What are you doing, man? He's like, I couldn't really get out of coach mode. It's like, we noticed. If I was a parent on the other side, I'd be like, dude, you got to chill out, no?
Nah, you gotta instill good game management early. Otherwise, like, you're going to be the Bills.
Great. Yeah, Thank you.
He's got to do the NFL player bit. He can't be the NFL player that's just like, doesn't know clock management, doesn't know anything. Even with 5 years old, I think you got to just do the job.
It's like, dude, I'm proud of you, kid. You ran out of bounds, like I said.
His kids are athletes, by the way. Good. I did notice, like, oh, wow. They don't need really his good. Help. They're playing in the basement. I'm like, God, they could already help him in Atlanta, maybe. One thing about, that's where I got the Josh Allen. Jared Goff and Josh Allen are clearly besties. Jared Goff, I think all these guys are friends. That's my point. Like, there's no rivalries. They're all tight. Quarterbacks have a lot of economic incentive to be together. Like, I don't think we're going to get hatred.
What's the best rivalry right now? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Is there a golf one, by the way? Like, Rory gets Liv, some kind of like...
Well, Rory gave up on that. Well, they dumped Rory, basically, and he stopped fighting.
And Koepka and DeChambeau sort of became friends again or something there. Remember, they
hated
each other.
They turned down the heat on that because I think they're both Liv guys. So they probably have to come together for the greater good.
Is there? That's the bottom line. There's too much money for a lot of these.
Like, you know, the Saudis can't catch a break.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Carlos Alcaraz falls asleep on a bed of money. How much hatred can you actually get?
When they put on the sweater and the Rolex right after the match is always the most insufferable moment.
Well, and the crazy thing with Sinner is he has a very controversial PED suspension in his history, and no one cares.
Like, I know.
That should make him an easy target.
I'm like, what?
No, because he's smart. He's skinny. He's not going, you know, skinny like the fat, old, like the 90s guys with you know, he's not getting 100 on the test like Barry Bonds.
His head didn't grow.
He got caught. 100 on the test, 0 on the test.
But I don't think anyone has a problem as long as you don't get too muscular. Like,
you don't have a problem.
Like, he didn't pull a Luis Gonzalez and all of a sudden have 50 homers in a year. Like, he's fine. He was a good player before. It took a little blood doping or whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, he's not getting 100 on the test. He's number one in the world, and he just won Wimbledon.
Maggie, he's skinnier than me.
Okay. Let's pause on that for a second. You can tell us what's the best rivalry in sports right now. I'm going to go with Caitlin and Angel. I think that's still blowing everybody out of the water. But what say you, folks? Hang with us, will you? Because we got a lot of headlines. 888-710-4ISN. By the way, Twitter back up. Thank you, Kaplan. Better than Elon. Kaplan figured it out. So thank you. At Maggie Gray. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet and Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Asking you, what's the best sports rivalry right now? Perloff saying Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. I'm saying Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Are you not saying that? Am I putting words in your mouth?
I did not say that. To say it's the greatest rivalry implies that everybody in America cares, and I don't think we're there.
Well, they're not American players, so it's going to take a lot more, I think, for us to care about them.
But I was thinking about a Federer, Nadal. It took a long time. They had to play a lot before we really engaged with those guys, right? As I recall, like, it wasn't an immediate, like, we're like, oh, this weird left-handed clay guy is coming up. I think if they play for 5 years at this level, then we'll be involved. But right now, I mean, I don't walk in, you know, I don't hear a lot of random conversations about the rivalry.
Right.
I hear a lot about Alcaraz.
Right.
I just don't know if Sinner is quite there.
I mean, is there one we're missing, America? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
I feel like boxing, golf, MMA, give us something here. But it's not easy because the golf guys, Rory seems to be back with the Liv guys. I don't really know what's going on there.
I mean, who can figure that out? And Bogush has lines for us. Yes.
And Phil and Tiger Tiger's, is he retired? I don't know.
Phil and Tiger, 2008 called.
Phil won a major in the last 3 years.
Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Deeper. We will always remember where we were yesterday when the Washington Nationals stunned the baseball world with the number one pick of the amateur draft.
With the first pick of the 2025 MLB draft, the Washington Nationals select Eli Willits, a shortstop from Fort Cobb Broxton High School.
What?
In Fort Cobb, Oklahoma.
And then we all fainted, Rob Manfred. High school shortstop Ethan Holiday or LSU lefty Kate Anderson was expected to go number one overall yesterday, but the Nats took Willits, whom they say has the best bat and glove in this draft. His dad, Reggie, played in the majors.
Reggie Willits' kid is playing in the bigs now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Will soon be two Matt Holiday kids, Ethan ending up going fourth to the Rockies, who drafted his dad, and then he made three All-Star games as a Rocky. Ethan and Jackson are the third brothers to be top 10 picks.
Imagine being Matt Holiday.
Yeah. Bogues, I would like you to spend 45 minutes explaining the economics of why they picked that guy, because that's why the MLB draft will never be fun.
45 minutes—it's
ridiculous. Like the different reasons they drafted. It's all money, right?
Well, the number two pick in particular was a real stunner. The Angels took a guy, a college pitcher that no one thought was that good. Like he was like the seventh or eighth best pitcher in this draft, and he was the first pitcher taken.
Right, but that
was about saving money.
Right, they don't want Scott Boras in the building, I'm assuming, at some point. Or I don't know if that's the case. But
so, like, each pick has a value. And you want what teams sometimes do is they pick somebody as a surprise in the first round and then sign him under slot value, and then they flip that money into, like, the second or third round and overpay for someone there.
Right. Like the NBA, you take Cooper Flagg because he's awesome. No.
I mean, this draft is always different because you're never picking somebody to come right to your team. So this draft is never like anybody else's draft, and then the economics make it even more confusing, and it's definitely not value-based.
Yeah, baseball.
Get these broke boy owners out of the game.
Oh.
I'm so sick of these guys.
Well, the Nationals
ruining baseball.
The Nationals one is interesting because they just fired their longtime GM and their manager.
Who's, like, not doing that bad a job, it seems like?
And he's been there for a long time. And they made the World Series but didn't make the playoffs.
Juan Soto's trade was a fleece. He fleeced
but
the
But that's
Padres.
The last good thing he did.
No, but I mean, okay.
Juan's been on three other teams since then.
Yeah, and all the guys on that trade are basically their stars. Yeah. They're rising players.
But the other 20 guys in the roster are terrible. They're worse than the Marlins right now.
Oof.
I just feel like it's an owner thing. It's not a general manager thing.
Because you think the Washington owners are broke?
If we're talking about we don't want to spend money on a first-round draft pick.
No.
What are we doing?
It's a little different than that. It's like, let's say this guy, this slot is $8 million of value. I'm going to draft this guy and pay him $6 million, and I'm going to take that $2 million and move it backwards to overpay for somebody in the second round. So they're still spending money.
Yeah.
They're just allotting it differently.
And the two top guys would have been really difficult for them to bring into the fold the way they wanted to. There was reasons they didn't take those guys financially, right? Basically, it's a little free agency.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. By the way, I was going to save it for M&P 500, but there was one clear winner yesterday at the MLB draft.
You got to tell me this or save it because I don't know what you're talking about.
Philadelphia Phillies drafted the only college player that we know, Gage Wood, no-hitter guy. Yeah, that was the top headline out of the MLB draft. One, that the Nationals picked someone no one had expect them to pick. And two, the Phillies got the no-hitter guy. Remember we did that, Maggie?
Gage Wood. That, you don't forget that name.
And he went in the first round of the Phillies. I feel like this is the best draft pick we've ever had.
Did you draft Mike
ever?
Smith?
Wow.
The name Gage Wood?
Did you draft Jimmy Rollins?
Well, yeah, I guess if you look back at it that way. But like, I wasn't that excited the day they picked Jimmy Rollins. This is I don't know anybody in this MLB draft, but I know Gage Wood. No, folks?
And now he's a Philly.
I guess so. And he's probably coming up soon.
Where did Gage Wood go to school?
LSU?
Nope.
No. Oklahoma State?
Nope.
Colder.
Vanderbilt?
Nope.
A little warmer.
Rice?
No.
Cold. Very cold.
Ice Seton cold. Hall?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
St. John's?
Think where
zero temperatures.
Iona College.
They're good pitchers out of Seton Hall. There are a bunch of pros out
of
there.
DeVry.
P.J. Carlesimo.
Arkansas, right?
I'm going to go with...
Better say it quick.
Boise State.
It was Arkansas.
Ding, ding, ding.
Arkansas, guys. Arkansas.